Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Like power, we reach the sisters' night on Wednesday night. This is the night for continued struggle and to bear in mind to keep up with the 10-point program and our non-local objectives, because that is our platform, that is our agenda. And of course, again, like I've always say, this is an unfinished revolution. It wasn't started or finished in the 30s, the 20s, the 60s, 50s, 70s, 90s, and still not now. We have revolution going on. Almost damn near all of the third so-called world countries, but yet we don't have anything or anybody raising the flag or jumping up and down or screaming or, you know, putting it to the system here in America, and that's really shocking, and I'm shocked by this. So without further ado, tonight is the night that we have a warrior woman on. And, of course, this is her second time around on this Women's Sister Night show. And, of course, like always, she's definitely an ally of the New Black Panther Party. And we welcome her on, and we are very, very happy to have her again. And as you may know, she definitely brings the fire for all you critics out there that say that, you know, we shouldn't work with the red man and red woman and we should only just deal with ourselves. Warrior Woman is definitely an ally of ours. So without further ado, I'm going to bring her on and let her introduce herself. And for those that are and have been in the caves for the last century or so, I want her to first come on and tell us about herself. Black power.
Black power.
How you doing, Quinn? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to let people know that I come from the people's land, which is called Oyate in Dakota. And it's over 240 acres of land where we have retreats, like our youth conference that's coming up April 15th through the 17th. And I know I have said this in other radio stations, and we ask people that with the same mind concept and the same heart concept and the same walking into and on and forward into the revolution. That's really what we're about. We're about spirituality first, the indigenous Dakota way of life, but by trying to keep and preserve our way of life, it's hard with the white man always trying to kill you, sterilize you, sedate you on alcohol and drugs or in prison like Leonard Peltier. For the last 50 years, I've been struggling in support of the oppressed, which means the brown people, the red people, the black people. I think we have a common enemy. When we realize that the common enemy is the white man and their imperialist system, because some people want to go this rainbow coalition kind of crap, you know, because the white people know they're outnumbered by us in any color. So they want us to have a unity with them. How can we have a unity with them when they go and try to take over countries like I'm in support of Muammar al-Qaddafi and the Jamahiriya Arab country. It's the United States guns and the United States pigs, dogs that went in there and started shooting the people. So what do? You have to defend yourself. You have to fight back. Just like your leader, Khalid Muhammad, he took that first step into being a warrior, defending Mr. Farrakhan when he went overseas, and they thought he was dead. They bombed Libya at that time. And then, you know, it's hard to say, oh, well, never mind, you know, and say, oh, the Jews are okay now, you know, the Zionists, because Kwame Ture would always tell us the proper way or the correct political way is they're Zionists. You know, and how the United States and the British and French put that country into the hands of the Jews and took it away from the Palestinians. We understand and have read a lot of Qaddafi's books, especially the Third Universal Theory, you know, which is the Green Book, which it talks about breaking away from the enslavement of, you know, of imperialism, to open our minds and educate ourselves, to see what the struggle of oppression is to us as a people. You know, so I've been a farm worker. I've been to the university, but when I saw the reservations, which are to me are like concentration camps, and the spirit of what they've done to the people in the last 3 years living on one, this United States should be ashamed of themselves. You know, I honestly pray for their gods to send them to hell, you know, when they die, because they go around killing people all over this world. And if nobody's saying anything in support of Muammar Gaddafi and the Jamahiriya people, then I am. And just because he's not in fashion or he's not in style or if he got old or whatever, his country is run by the people, the socialist people's committees, the Congress, the, you know, and to us, he's the great revolutionary leader. Hey, Damia.
Yes, ma'am. I'm listening. We're listening to you. We're listening to you.
I just wanted to add that. Yeah, because you know what? The people got all upset. There's casualty of war. When you know war, when you're being shot at, you're going to have to shoot back, even in the barrios, even in the ghettos, even in the streets. If you shoot at my brother, I'll shoot back at you. You know, that's a word in the streets, you know. But anyway, the United States bombed Libya in 1986. You know, the one that can remember anything, Ronald Reagan, the Reagan gun, remember that? And you know, nobody said anything when they killed more people. And even now, with the trade towers down, at the same time they were bulldozing one of our sacred Sundance grounds in Arizona, where they're trying to relocate 18,000 today people. And so now, you know, with that happening, you know, in Iraq and in, you know, and all the places all over that they're going and putting their so-called free market. That's really what they want. They want the resources. Why do you think Obama's being so nice to the Indians? Out of 500 years, we won 2 cases. You know, after 15, 20 years, you know, even 30, trying to say that they stole their land. They put white princesses, you know, these Cherokee princes that have no blood in the position and the full blood they're receiving, nothing from these casinos in the last 15, 20 years. And, you know, we have to go all the way back to Jamestown to tell you how those people were filthy people. Like, I can't understand why we would want to be like them. I went to speak at one college at San Luis Obispo, and the young men were saying that they were doing some research about the boats that came over here. You know, they would talk about the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria type of thing, and that they didn't bring no women with them, their men. So what they did is they were having sex with dogs on those ships. So I remember one time I was talking to Khalid Muhammad, and I was saying, hey, you know, he's always with saying, yeah, and those faggots, you know. And I said, yeah, and that's all they brought was faggots and maggots, you know, because some of the ships, you know, really, you know, got eaten by those. And so I think for us as people of color, you know, in traditional beliefs and in traditional, you know, this land is all ours. They took it. They stole it. They raped our people. They sterilized our people, so there won't be no children in the future. So I call them killers of our unborn. You know, if we can remember that as women, because we have a stronger connection to that child that's growing in our womb and giving birth to it, and there's no man that probably could deal with the pain of that and the suffering. And then we bring in our child, then we hand them to the white man to educate them and train them to go and kill our own people of color, you know? And remember the song that they would sing, the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli? You know, they're still mad. They're still mad that Gaddafi took over that country, you know, without firing a weapon. He did a coup without even, you know, he took over. And I keep telling people, we outnumber them, you know. They were the ones who did mass killing at Sand Creek, Wounded Knee, betrayals of tears, when they were relocating us and put us in concentration camps called reservation, and we're in 2011, and they still have us in concentration camps, which are like cages, animals in a cages. I've heard so many stories, even from the California people, how you couldn't even leave one reservation if your daughter was married into another reservation to go see them when they were going to have a baby. You had to ask the church. That's why I can't understand why people today go to church. You know, their mission when they first came here, you know, was not to build missions, but to their mission was gold, was the search of gold. And all along California missions, they used lime pits, and they built their missions on the mass graves of our people. So in the 70s, when we were all American Indian Movement, and we wanted to tell them, okay, let's dig all this up, they went and cemented them all. And now they want to make them, you know, some kind of sacred person, you know. That's why I tell you, they are going to hell, you know. You know, they don't even remember. How about those students they killed in Penn State, you know, Kent State? And how about Vietnam, you know? And how about the lies they keep telling us, you know? It's you know, right now one of the mayors in Wisconsin wants to call the National Guards against the people that are going out on for a union, you know? The United States is broke, so it has to continue to find a way to get the Indians, you know, off their land. You know, the casino was a trip, you know. It was a trip, yet no economy base had been built on these reservations with these casinos. The people are just pocketing all, and usually they're not even have any Indian blood. You know, they look like the white people that are still oppressing us, you know. And I keep saying that, you know, if we complain about another country that's been in power for 30, 40 years, you know, and this country 500 years, and we haven't done change. Hey, I'm trying to clean my backyard, and they're in my backyard, and I want them out. You know, we've been wanting them out for a long time. They have no money, you know, and they're not going to get what's left. Not, you know, if Libya goes down, then this country goes down.
Okay, you touched on so much that it's really even hard to really, I'm about ready to just let you talk. But I definitely want you to touch a little bit I want you to touch more on the indigenous people hardships and what's going on with that. And you mentioned about going back to trial and all that. I want the listeners to hear more about that.
There was one lawsuit that was won, and Obama signed it. Obama signed it in December, and the judge signed it in January, allocating, I think it was like 3.4 million, billion, I don't know. And it was because she saw this grave. Every morning she would go, and, you know, and she asked her mom, what is that mass grave? And the mother told her that the people starved to death. No food supplies when they put you on reservations, and then they're supposed to bring you food, and sometimes they didn't bring food. And then they found that there was, because she went into accounting, and she found some 100-year-old checks that were never delivered to these people that belonged in the mass grave. So she sued the government, you know, and she won after, I think it's 15 years. And what happened is some of the elders are dying, so, you know, they're not even... You know, a lot of them aren't even going to enjoy this, whatever remains, and that's why they settled. We have one that, well, we won. We started in 2001, and then we won in 2004. And what happens is that there's these white people that are claiming to be Indian blood. And if they had some in the beginning and they kept marrying white and white, that they're white today, those are the people that are controlling the Lower Sioux. There's three parcels of land that weren't reservations. It was community land. And the people, because there was nobody there at the time, you know, and here we're on the longest walk, 1978, 53, they were having relocation. So they were always trying to move the people out so they don't see that there was a 100-year-old trust fund in there, you know, and so it's been mismanaged. So instead of going to the tribal councils, because then you're headed with the tribal police, then you're headed with the, you know, the people with the bats and stuff. You know, the elders would tell us it's like blood in the snow. Going to a meeting, you get beaten, and coming out, you get beaten, you know. And these elders passed away, and we're still going to court. The judge is supposed to come up with some final decision in May, you know, the 13th of May, you know, their number. And so we're just saying that we hope our elders are alive in May, you know, because some of them have already passed away. So it's like, okay, you know, is this going to be a bittersweet thing? I don't believe it until I see it. You know,
right?
Because what are they getting this money that they don't have? You know, they want what's underneath. And so as long as they
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you know, Big Mountain's the same way. You know, when we talk about Wounded Knee, 18,000 Dene Navajo people are gonna want to remove them. So they put a lot of indigenous people in the United States on 2-3 different nations in one piece of land. And then when they want it, they make them start fighting each other. It's always the divide and conquer. This devil uses the same thing everywhere he goes, divide and conquer, exactly like he did in Libya. He went in there and started shooting, and so when they shot back, then, oh, look at them shooting. This country has done more damage to the indigenous people. They don't even have a right to talk. I don't see why people just let them be in control. It's only a handful of 1%. Then it's perfect timing for revolution if we're the 99%, you know. And I think it's our responsibility, you know. They polluted the air, they polluted the water, they polluted our brains, you know. They've taken our land and resources, you know. What else, you know, can they take, you know? They're never taking our soul. We're not going to believe in their God, you know. And we're never going to follow any of their rules and regulations. We keep talking about how many of the thousands. I heard there was 400 women that were killed in Mexico and their bodies just thrown. You know, these people are talking about drugs and weapons in Mexico that are coming from the United States, you know, the United Snakes. And we keep allowing to listen to their lies. I saw Gaddafi in the internet, and he wasn't wearing no tie like their reporters were saying. You got white people because people want to be nice and allow them to come into our organizations and water our, you know, words down, you know. I said those people, you know, I don't think they should be in with us, you know. I honestly think they should just work on the outside and keep their mouth shut, you know. They have nothing to say, you know. They should go after their own. Right now they're talking in the brown community. That's, you know, the Salazar, that reporter that was killed in East L.A. back 40 years ago, that the investigation is that he wasn't assassinated, even though that one of those tear gas canisters hit him in the brain and the cop didn't know who he was shooting at. Yeah, right, you know? There was also a young man that died in there. His name is Lynn Wood, and he was also a brown person. You know, they never talk about him, you know, and he was a young person. You know, they said there was a riot. That was back in the 70s when, you know, I think people weren't born, or they don't remember, or nobody continued the stories how the people, the cops would come in riot gear and beat our people, have tear gas on them, you know, or even what they do now. They fly helicopters, you know, pretending that they're shooting at us, you know, like a mock invasion, you know. They shoot at us at our gate coming in. You know, we're the last place or the first place where the water comes. And the water goes down to the city and to the town, you know, and we could just dig a bigger hole and the water won't go. They're going to be another drought for them, you know, and that's what we're in the way of their progress, you know, and yet they haven't taught us anything. You know, the elders, you know, at Big Mountain are, you know, have passed away. Some of them are still there, you know, but the young people are lost. You know, some of them don't know the language. Some of them aren't resistors anymore, you know? And so then we say maybe the white people won after all, you know, they marry into it, so they get the land anyway. But like I said, it hasn't stopped. COINTELPRO hasn't stopped for us. You know, they're still following us. They're still tracing us. They still, you know, go on our internet and make it all messed up, you know. And it's just like, I don't care to, you know, go on the internet or the phone or any of their, you know, technology. Because for what reason? To give them more ammunition to kill us? Because that's what they did in 86. We were saying, the elders, the Big Mountain people, the Dene people have no running water. They have no electricity. And that's how they bought off half of them, was to put in, you know, electricity. And then they had the Game Boy and all these other little toys that the kids got into, you know. They don't understand mm-hmm. that it's, you know, the mass killing of our brains, you know. We're taught not to be sensitive to see anything. You see somebody on the street, a homeless, you know, oh, you know, we don't even have a, you know, that catering in ourselves, you know, for our own people, you know. And that's what I loved about Doc. He talked to any black person he saw, mm-hmm. to them. Everybody was a brother, everybody was a sister, and he talked to them, you know. And you know, some of us, you know, had a lot of people like Kwame Ture that passed away. You know, that you worked alongside, you know, they, like I said, mm-hmm. how many of our leaders have they killed that stood up for homelessness and poverty and oppression and discrimination? And how many of our elders are dying without any of this so-called luxury of the white man having, you know, at least heat, not wood, but regular heat in their hogans, in their homes, you know? But they were raised that way. So they want to live that way. But to me, it's like, you men, you women, you better get your acts together, because it's getting a little too late and a little too heavy for the rest of us. Because once Libya goes, and if they go after Cuba, then we have no examples. You know, let's become like the enemy and go after them. You know, there's not that many of them. You know, Hillary Clinton going talking and advising other people. She couldn't even stop her husband from having sex at the desk in the Oval Office. She
exactly.
I can't believe it. You know, it's, oh, yeah, there's the president. It's the zipper guy, you know, doesn't keep his zipper up. You know, it's that. And then they're using him to go around talking. You know, it's sick. And then Obama, what is he doing? You know, we keep sending letters to him. Hey, what about the indigenous people? Oh, give them tokenism one or two things. Oh, yeah, finally, I think it was that he okayed, that he turned his judgment in the UN that, yeah, the Indian people can, you know, practice their own ways and things like that. Well, if that's the case, then all the people across the border are indigenous people, so they should all just get free passports. You know, we're indigenous. We didn't put the border there. Those are our family members. They're suffering the same way we are. Where can we go once they throw you off your land and the reservation here? There's nowhere to go. Canada's doing the same thing with the indigenous people there. They got mass graves in their church. You know, it's like, do we want to honestly be like them that become child molesters like their priests, you know, and go with dogs and animals? I mean, they busted some people here not too long ago going with animals out here. You know, these white people are weird, you know? And, you know, there's a lot of hatred that I have, especially what happened, you know, last couple of days, trying to show Libya as something that, you know, is not true. Because Gaddafi doesn't run the country. He's like an advisor. He makes and has like the Mutaba or he has committees and congresses. And he's known as the great revolutionary leaders to a lot of us that are revolutionary. I don't know who these other people are that just because it's not fashionable, you know, and they didn't get enough money from him, they're not going to support him. You know, the United States is the devil. And he'll always be the devil to us. You know, no matter how much money he gives us, he's never, never going to make enough or have enough for all the killings and the mass graves of our Indian people all over. That's like when the Twin Towers went down, I wasn't worried, you know. And then when they were telling the Muslim people, they couldn't build their center, you know, because, oh, you know, they're dead. Well, what about our dead, you know? How many graves had they built on? And then they build their church where they go and pray to their God. They're devil worshippers, you know what I mean? It's like the devil is God and God's the devil, you know? It's like they're backward people. They, you know, honestly, you know, they don't like their women, so I think they must have a mother complex, you know? They go with men and men, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they like little boys. And then I was like, I didn't want to learn any more information about the white man because he's sick. You know, he is totally sick and perverted. He brought the sickness over here, the Tuckum, Benjamin Franklin, having sex and orgies in a cave. You know what I mean? And he helped write the Constitution that was a con. Everything's a con, the white man does. You know, and then he tells us to pay. The rich corporations don't pay. They just continue to pollute, you know?
Exactly. Well, you touched on Libby. Could you tell us your views more on Libya? Because someone's asking that in the chat room. They want to know, what do you feel more about Libya, the whole situation, including Gaddafi, of course?
You have to read the Green Book. The Green Book is the third universal theory on how imperialism, communism, and how you get the third. You know what I mean? Is we've seen communism, and then we've seen imperialism. Well, imperialism went and knocked down communism. You know, so what's left? It's a superpower, you know? And so when you look at that, then what's the alternative? The alternative is the people and the masses of people. And they have committees for everything. The youth have a committee. The women, when I was there, the first time I went there back in 80-something, because they were going to relocate Big Mountain in 86, the United States government, we needed a platform somewhere to talk, you know, so the world will know what the United States is doing. When their president, Carter, was going around talking about human rights. You know, it's so comical. Even in 2001, they were going after Big Mountain, and here they were at the UN talking about it. It's the year of the indigenous. And they're killing the grandmas here. They even had the grandma's clothing already being sold in a store because they're trying to relocate all of them into the stores. And here, I says, the grandmas aren't even dead or warm in their graves. You know what I mean? And I told in their grave that the people, you know, will sell their clothes. You know, didn't you notice that all these clothes in Ross and all these other places, probably Marshalls in your area, they have, you know, the clothes of Arab people? So what are they doing? Stealing all their clothes when they bomb them and stealing all the artifacts, like the big rich guy that was out here, what was his name? The Hearst Castle and all that, you know, Randolph Hearst. You know, all the gold and stuff he stole when they were doing. So you can imagine all the artifacts that they're stealing. They're still digging up our graves to this day.
Wow.
So Libya has committees, and you have to have a permission to go to their country. And they people that come from other poor parts of Africa, they when they come into their countries, they teach them the language and how to get a job, and you know, and that's part of them. It's like in lieu of need, I keep saying, when you want something, if you need something, then you don't have freedom. You don't have freedom for food. You don't have freedom for housing. You don't have freedom for education. You have no freedom for transportation. So if you need these things, you're not free. So those were given to the people, the first children. You got free medical. After that, you're going to have to pay, but you got a home, you got a car, you got free education. The students run the university, and their women, military. When the first time I went there, they were changing from a man running the woman's military to a woman, you know. And in the fighter planes, there were women in the fighter planes. You know, it's just like how to have a weapon or to fit you. You know what I mean? We sit better in planes, you know. And one time, a couple years ago when I went down there, they said, Gaddafi goes and talks to the women because, you know, they were saying, well, maybe the men can have a second wife, but it's up to the first wife to decide if there's going to be a second one. And the wife didn't say they had a vote. And then he goes, wait a minute, this isn't 100%, only the women didn't vote. You know what I mean? And he told them, don't be like a chair, just sitting there, you know, like a wooden chair. Get up, you know? And he was talking to them like that. You know, he goes, we want our country back. And you think that just having a Kleenex box on top of your front dash, that you made it? You know, he supports revolutionary people all over the world. To us, these are freedom fighters in South America. You know, I heard today that made me feel better is that Gaddafi gave Hugo Chavez his tent. And I says, hey, I had bids on that tent. It was a beautiful tent. You know, and so you saw what happened to Hugo Chavez, how they tried to throw him out, he came back in, you know, and all the other people that are supporting. And I kept telling the people of color from the southern direction, if you don't see what's happening in Afghanistan and all over the East, that they're killing the people, trying to outlaw Arab language and culture here in this country, and then now they're going to South America. Hey, you know what? That border that they have, I went to Palestine. The Christians there are Palestinians, where Jesus was born and all this other stuff. They're building a whole wall around it and surrounding the Palestinian people. And even with the Palestinian people being there, there's indigenous people there in between the fight of the Palestinians and the Jewish people. There's even Jewish people going against, you know, their own Zionists, you know. But like I said, the media is controlled to keep us sidetracked. It's to keep us, oh, it must be happening, because there never was any good publicity on Libya for the last 40-some years. We went out in the streets in the 60s and the 70s, you know, but then they got drugs to sedate people. Then they got women to sedate or to seduce our men leaders. You know what I mean? And so they had COINTELPRO to throw in those white, what do they call them? I call them white trash, but there's another word that they call them, the honey trap, you know, to get people into it. You know, so I think that we honestly should look at this and be stronger in our organization and be more dedicated to help these leaders to stay in check, you know. You know, it's no more party fun and games. It's a reality. We're living because our elders are dying, and that's why we're standing up. And our elders, they don't use four-letter words, but sometimes I do, because that's the only way to wake up and open up your minds, you know, because our people have been given the white man's educational lobotomy, where they don't think, and that is what Gaddafi was teaching and why he wrote the Green Book. It was to bring together your mind and make a better world. You know, the United States doesn't want to see a better world, because when Gaddafi took over his country, they had no oil. You know, they were living poorly, and then they discovered oil. So then they decided, instead of us living nice and comfy and all this, let's support the other people that are struggling. And that's what his country is all about. The only terrorist we see is the United States, and they're standing there by themselves, and they can easily be, you know, brought down, you know. But it's up to the people to wake up, you know. We still don't have enough to eat. We still don't have shelter. We still don't have transportation, or if we do, we don't have gas to put in it, you know. Didn't they say South Central in L.A., they're trying to build a nuclear power plant, and a lot of the children exactly. there have asthma. You know, and they don't even have cars. They all use transportation from you know, the bus, you know. Exactly. And so it's a lie. I think that somebody has to come up with some concrete plans. You know what I mean? Next time there's a million march anywhere, so don't stop there, you know. Take it all over.
We just
you know?
Believe.
We keep going. We keep going.
We need to act.
The enemy, you know, we should go to each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be sovereign people, sovereign land. Any land we're on is supposed to be sovereign land to the indigenous people, meaning we're another nation. Then if that's true, then why doesn't our local media, meaning the people's newspapers and radio stations, you know, or internet news, you know, talk about that? Then we could go and issue passports for the people that are coming over for a job. I mean, you know what? There is no jobs for our people, you know? I mean, how would you like to have a job and, you know, belittle yourself? I mean, I went overseas to South Korea, and they were grooming this man to take over Chavez's when he was going to run the second time, you know. And I'm like, these white people, they're organized 24/7, you know. They're already preparing for somebody to go. We don't do that. And that's what Kwame says. They're organized 24/7. We've got to be organized 24/7, you know, and we have to be honest and truthful in the terms of how our people live. I mean, we have children. We have 5 or 6 children. You love them all the same, you know. There's one you might have to help a little bit more than the other one, you know, but a woman, when it comes out of your womb, it's your baby, you know. The men can take off and not even claim it, you know. So we have to change our value system that the white man, you know, he's sick. I mean, when I went back to Minnesota, they were saying that people used to kill Indians, cut them up, package them and send them to Europe. They were eating people. They were calling our people big, like a big pig. You know how you cut a pig up, but this was a big pig, you know. So they were eating us. They were scalping us, eating us. They were eating. They were sick. When they came, they were sick. And so you can imagine what their brain is now. How could anybody in their right mind follow them and continue, you know? They're killers. They've always been killers, you know. They just have real, you know, good ways how to cover it up.
Exactly. You mentioned two people that the people in the chat room want you to go more in on your relationship or your camaraderie-ship and how did you deal with them and what type of people they were. But you mentioned Kwame Ture, rest in peace, or Yuhuru. And you also mentioned our great shiny leader, Dr. Khalid Muhammad. So could you break those entities down, those warriors down, and tell us, like, when you were working with them, what your thoughts were, and, like, what did you learn? What was something great you learned from them?
Kwame Ture is the one who invited us to Libya. Kwame went and asked Juanetta Lone Wolf, who was writing articles in the Final Call, and she says, I know, some people that don't work with the government at all. And so that's how we hooked up with Kwame Ture. And every time he'd come into L.A., he would, you know, visit us, and we were trying to have him come into the sweat because when he started having cancer and stuff like that, and but Libya was a place where I seen how he worked, you know, how he organized, and that was the word that always stayed, organized. You got organized, and always, you know, seeing what the enemy's doing, you know, because you know it's a lie what he puts out, you know, it's to cover up the dirty stuff that he's doing. But you know, to me, he was a strong intellectual revolutionary, you know. He had workshops. I mean, even the organization still does that, you know, where it meets and it has workshops, and then it, you know, has so many years you got to be in the group to go out and speak, so you have the knowledge to go out there, you know, and going back and forth to Libya. Then we had met Khalid Muhammad in L.A. with the Nation, and then we would see him go in and out of Libya, and almost to the end, at the 10-year anniversary that we all had gone to, we traveled together, you know, and that's when I seen that how he went up to every black person and greeted them and said hello to them, and, you know, and he was that bold black man, 100% black, and that's what I loved about it, you know, and how he loved his people. You know, they always want to put revolutionary people or try to even name us something else that we're not. We're the people, and we love our people, and that's how come we're standing up forward. You know, if they're going to kill us, fine. We don't have to continue living in this hell that we are, you know. But I like their knowledge. They had trained themselves to, when they talked to intellectuals at the universities, you know, that was one speech, and then to talk to the homeboys in the streets. And when we went to Libya, that's what he did. There were some youngsters hanging out, and he started talking to them, you know. And that's what I liked about him, you know. He wasn't afraid of anything, you know. He just would, you know, and that's what. If you don't have love for your people in your heart, and that's why you're doing it, then you wouldn't do it, you know. And these people gave their lives. And that's what I learned, is I have to give my life to these elders. I could have gone in something else, but that ain't my thing. Revolution is my thing. That's why I can't go and negotiate something with the white people. I mean, I want to talk to them. I don't even want to be around them. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, I'm here up in the mountains, you know, and I like it here, you know, away from all the white people until they send their planes or something else. But they were beautiful leaders. To me, they were men. They were strong men. And I only have good things to say about them. And we also met Rosie Douglas, the one from, he was the Prime Minister of the Dominican Republic. He was raised out here in the United States, and he realized that he can organize his own country. And then they killed him when we all had a meeting in Libya. He was going to open up his country for all of us to meet, you know, and because that's what Libya did. You know, once it discovered oil and stuff, it says, well, you know, we can live comfortable, but let's help the other people, you know, that are struggling. I don't know, you know, because the terms that they call us, anytime you look at our leaders, you know, mm-hmm. Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, Geronimo, you know, a lot of them that haven't even been mentioned. You know, even the brother that was killed, Bobby Garcia, Dallas Thundershield, that was killed helping Leonard Peltier escape from here in Lompoc, California prison. You know, these are our leaders. Peltier is a leader. You know, for him, over 30-some years in prison, you know, and he's a diehard. We're diehard. That's how come I said I wanted to come and explain to people. Maybe I didn't explain to people, but I tried to let people know about Libya, about the Green Book. I know I mentioned it at the Million Family March, you know, that people should read it. We snuck it into one of the universities at San Diego, and I think some other universities have the Green Book. And it's talking about a theory how people can live without want. I mean, it breaks down that you shouldn't even have somebody to come and clean your house because you're enslaving them. A family member can take care of your child, you know, but not you know, once you have to pay somebody, that's like prostituting that person to be a worker, you know. So they try to break all those lines, you know. To me, I think the youth don't know, just like the youth here in this country don't know what we've gone through, or even know who Leonard Peltier is, who Anna Mae Aquash was, you know, how many of our 9-year-olds have been shot, you know. Somebody says, oh, you know, in Arizona they shot this white girl. A year ago they shot this man and a 9-year-old girl, the Minutemen, you know, and they finally found her guilty. I hope they kill her, you know, but anyway, people felt so sorry for these white people that got shot. And I said, well, what about the 400 that they killed in Mexico, the women, and just threw their bodies out like they were nothing, like they were trash? And then the thousands of people in the Amazon that the government wants their land and their resources there, burned these people, threw their bodies in the Amazon River. You know, these are our people. These are indigenous people. And they don't care. They can kill us in mass graves. I mean, they don't even teach us our history right. They don't even teach us, you know, how we were, you know, treated here or brought here or had to come here, you know, or ran away to come. You know what I mean? They're doing all the work and forces people to come in here. Then we hate them. What did they do to the Indian people? They put them on one reservation on another person's land, then moved them over. Then they were fighting with the ones that they moved. So, you know, it's divide and conquer all the way. They always use the same tactics, and they're after the same whole thing, the gold, the timber, uranium, the water, you know. And they don't own the water and the air, you know. We say Allah, Tankashala, they own, you know, they're the creators of it. You know, all we are is caretakers, you know. Mm-hmm. We can go and talk about prayer all day long, but sometimes we got to clean that gun out, you know, and bring it out and don't mess with us, you know. That's why we says they're going to kill all our elders and they're not going to enjoy any of this stuff, you know. Our grandmas can't even enjoy taking their kid to a park. We don't even have a park in the desert. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's so much hate that I want to continue having that hate for them, you know, because they should have never existed.
Okay, I have a couple more questions in the chat room. One person said that they was a 20-year-old male, and he wants to know, of course, you know, he's black, and he wants to know what he can learn more about, what book can he get to learn about more about the Red Nation?
One of the books is Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, but I would read any of the books that Leonard Peltier has written, because he talks about the suffering that he's doing, you know, while people are here enjoying Sundances. And now, you know, our own people abuse our own ceremonies. There's one that's hidden that, you know, only few go, and they have to speak the indigenous language to participate because it's getting out of hand. Everybody's, you know, dancing, and then the next minute you see they're womanizing, the next thing, because the Sundance represents woman. You know, the umbilical cord of the tree of life, that we have the tree in the center and the rope, that's connected to the mother and the unborn child. So he's dancing to like rebirth into the Mother Earth, but actually he's trying to feel what a woman feels in the stages of puberty and, menopause and, birth. The woman goes through all these pains and suffering. He doesn't know what that is. So he can have that respect to the women. You know, he has to understand that she's the giver of life, like the Mother Earth. Understand all the atrocities. I think there's a new book. Well, for me, it's a new book because we knew the people before they were. Missions in California, and they talk about all the missions here in California with mass. There's also a new tape. There's a new tape about the people in California and how the Masons, you know, were the first mayors over here in California and were also went on parties to kill Indians. So those books, there's quite a bit of books, but Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, and, there should be quite a bit of them.
Okay, you mentioned Leonard Pointier. Could you go more into detail about that comrade and what he went through, a brief history aspect of that, because we have a couple people in the chat room that asked about it. They've never heard of him.
Okay, Leonard Peltier was one of Ernie Peters' Long Walker students. They were American Indian Movement in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a shootout, Wounded Knee, Menominee. There was lots of, I hate the word takeover, because how can you take over what's yours, you know? And so they were resisting. And I guess, you know, the story there, you can go on the Peltier internet, who is Leonard Peltier, and get every detail. But he's serving over 35 years in prison. They accused him of killing two FBI agents. And I think that's what they're mad, the Indians with their unsophisticated guns and their tech and everything. We got two. They only got one. We got, you know what I mean? So just like Libya, they hate Libya for what it stands for, and it throughout the United States without firing a weapon and taking over. So, you know, they have pictures of the Marines in Libya halfway in water waiting for the boat to come pick them up. But Peltier stood for the grandmas. The grandmas were being attacked in South Dakota. There was people that they made somebody dance, like kind of somebody that was mentally ill, an Indian person, you know, at a like a Mason, one of those kind of meetings. And, they were dragging a Indian woman from the courthouse because they went to protest this thing. And the woman, you can see her dragging her and her blouse up and her bra showing and everything, you know. So the people defended, you know, their land. And so, because he was there, because they couldn't find who did the actual killing, the shooting, you know, they got him as a scapegoat. He had taken off to Canada, and so they illegally extradited him back to this country, that was the whole story with Anna May Oplush. You know, there's a lot of people that that knows what happened, you know, and Peltier didn't do it. He never did it, but I love him for standing up for what he's standing up for. He's always our leader, and I think that's what the fake leaders get mad at. He's a symbol that it's like Mumia, you know? You know, it's just a Trump of charge, and I pray that he'll be free.
Mm-hmm. Like they do all of us. They always trump
right.
Up on,
yeah.
Trump
we're
up
in our own prison.
Right.
We're in our own prison,
right.
And we don't do that.
Exactly. But you mentioned heavily the Green Book, and I've had the privilege to read it. But could you really tell people where to get that from? Because someone just gave it to me. That's how I obtained it. But, like, where would you normally get that book from? Can you order it through a bookstore?
You can check the libraries at the universities. They should have them. If not, they might still be illegal to have, because a lot of us brought stuff back that we weren't supposed to.
Okay.
But I think now, you know, I mean, I thought the United States was making friends with Libya.
Right. Okay. Well, you definitely touched on so much.
And then you mentioned another name that you basically said, a youth, I can't recall what you said, but someone in the chat room wanted to know that you was breaking down somebody was murdered as well that they really don't talk about.
Yeah, that was, it was 40 years of Salazar. It just came out in the Times that it's, you know, been 40 years that he was a reporter and he wasn't assassinated. They watered it down. You know, they had a fake trial on TV so people, you know, could just get bored and, you know that your mind spends only 20, 30 minutes. They knew that, so they had it for days. So they're coming out that Salazar wasn't assassinated. He was a reporter. And Lynn Woods was part of the Brown Berets that was killed, you know. I don't know how many other people were injured, but it wasn't too long ago they had another riot with the police. You know, they were demonstrating a couple, in those 3 years that I wasn't in California, and they killed people, you know. So, you know, the police department now is going to have to release some of its, you know, police records, just like the New York police, and see how many people of ours that they've killed, you know, so we should keep on top of that. But,
okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that there's time when the police did line up our warriors, our men, and lined up a 9-year-old kid and just shot him in front of them and said, you know, you know what I mean? So they've
mm-hmm.
done that. They intimidate, just like Anna Mae Aquash, you know, they killed her, cut her hands off, you know, to say that they wanted to get her fingerprints in Washington. They knew who she was because they said they were going to kill her in a year, you know. So you have people that are always calling people snitches and stuff like that, and she wasn't. And you know, you kind of wonder now when you go 20, 30 years and, she, you know, you wonder who the snitches really were.
The real ones.
The real ones that are still passing the drugs out, mm-hmm. still trying to keep our people sedated and drugged up, you know. So to me, it's just, I'm moving forward, you know, because the Creator, I hope, will take care of them.
Exactly. Well, we definitely only have like about 8 minutes left on our show, but I want you to tell me two more questions. And that would really take us out, and if we cut out, still talk. basically, one question is, and this is my question, what are something that you would suggest to the people to organize more? And how to organize, because, again, a lot of our people from both nations do not really know how to organize, you know what I mean?
Our youth conference is going on 18 years, and the conference started because Kwame Ture always says that the black and the brown and the red have to know that there was unity amongst us 30, 40, 50 years ago. And so that's what our youth conference is for, is to come and sit around family and we talk about what we're doing if we're not in communication. Because I know that I went all the way to North Africa for some of the people, black community was really aware of Leonard Peltier, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like we had to go to another country to learn about each other's struggles because we're not connected. And like I said, most of our leaders, our good leaders are dead. So we need to come back again and sit down and honestly talk about a true revolution, you know, to talk about what we have and what each other has so we can move forward in unity, a real unity. Let's sit down and honestly discuss this devil and even not even talk about him maybe, just come and see how we can move forward. You know, it's time, you know, and I think people should organize themselves and come to the youth conference. And, you know, that was one thing that Khalifa Muhammad and I were talking about is the Million Youth March in California, you know, because people are marching here and there and all over the world, but what are they accomplishing? You know, if we're going to do it, then let's do something, you know, and get something in return instead of just marching and standing,
exactly.
You know, all the people that are speaking are sitting their ass down doing nothing. You know what I mean? I see all the people on stage, and I see them standing for hours and hours, you know. And that's why I says, but, you know, the love for them that they have, because they want to see something different, there has to be. In our lifetime, we've got to show them something, you know. That's why we're up in the mountains. We separated. You know, we want to have fun, but they're always trying some way anyway, you know, and not to recognize our sovereignty. We as black people, red people, and brown people, we're sovereign human beings and beyond sovereignty, because they brought the term sovereignty. We're the creators, you know, gift. This land was given to us. And if we think that we're colonized or oppressed, then we act, walk, talk, dress like them. We can't dress like the enemy. We should go back to our original clothes every day, you know, buy clothes and things from our own people. If we don't have them like us, then we make our own, you know. We have to start trying to have some true economics, you know, economics in this country. And if we're sitting on the remaining resources, you know, we need to come together and travel into these reservations and help organize them to stand up and kick the white people off those reservations, you know. We have lawyers, we have black lawyers that should come and help us. We even have Indian lawyers that should come and help us, you know, because this country is ours. They have no documents saying that they're here legally, you know. Nobody signed a contract saying they could have this country, you know. So that's why they don't want us to be talking to anybody else, you know. They always want to discredit us, they shoot at us, they poison us. What else can they do, you know? And we says, go on, because I'd rather be with the Creator than down here in hell, you know. So I think we have to come up with some righteous conclusion to this misery. If we don't wake up to the oppression of not having enough to eat and transportation and all the stuff the white man says, you know, and then they're broke now after they've had the parties and continue to have the parties without us, you know, something's wrong here. And I keep saying we outnumber them. And if we don't get together within our groups and make it solid, you know, like they say, solid, call it, you know, we got to do something. Black power.
Yeah,
power
to
the people.
Okay. And one of the young brothers in the chat room also wants to know how to learn more about you and what you do. Do you have anything, like, where he can go and look it up or?
Yeah, Warrior Woman 74 at Yahoo. I have a post thing there that I was thinking after yesterday. I didn't want to write no more. You know, it's just, what for? You know, I keep talking about the white man. I keep talking about how we're being oppressed and everything. So you can go there, you know, and check it out, or you can come and visit. The land's open.
We want to come and visit. Talk about, you have like something coming up. You have some type of ceremony or something coming up.
Yeah, the youth conference. Yeah, the youth conference is April 15th, 16th, and 17th. Everybody comes in on Friday night and starts Saturday morning. And in between, we have traditional ceremonies. One of the beginning ones we had is Touch the Earth ceremony, where we brought the youth in that had babies, you know, and tried to talk to the youth that anybody can make the baby, but you have to be the responsible parent to that baby, you know, and how the community is also watching everything. Like when a man and woman get together, you're going to watch that man in our circle that he doesn't, you know, have roaming eyes. It's just like people can be covered from head to toe, and if that man's eyes wander, then he should be, you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean. Also, one last question, and you can, you know, say whatever you want to say. But what do you have to say to your critics?
I say, fuck the United States, the United Snakes. I don't give a shit what the critics say. I'm moving forward. You can go right or left. I'm moving forward. And that's what I'm going. It says, adelante, compañeros. I'm going forward. To the death, like Gaddafi said. To the last blood. Till I run out of ammunition.
Any closing remarks? I don't know what to ask you after that. But any closing remarks on that?
Organize. We got to be organized. We got to get together as a family, as brothers and sisters, because we only have one enemy, and that's the United States government, killing people all over the world. If we can't stop him, then we should support the people that will. We are inside the belly of the beast, I hear. So come on, let's get rid of the beast.
Okay. And could you give your contact information again for those that are really serious?
Okay. Warrior Woman 74 at Yahoo. And 805-235-6559. And we're located in the middle of California up in the mountains, Los Padres National Forest. So it's camping.
Okay. All right. Again, as always, it's a pleasure of having you on. I hope to see you in April. If nothing happens to me, I hope to see you in April.
All right.
But again, peace and love to you as well, Queen. I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned, everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, it's a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race, it is a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace